All right, 48 degrees, so much to cover with Jason Cairns, the best 5 minutes of the day. Some of it is just fun and others of a more serious nature. Good morning.
Good morning.
For instance, speaking of Culver's, our question of the week last Thursday, Thursdays is a good day we found for questions, was what's your favorite fast food restaurant? And Culver's was the runaway winner. How would you answer that? Did I ask you that?
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
Culver's would probably be my go-to, although I like a lot of different ones.
So our question in the morning, because we came across great information on the history of like 20 different candy bars, is what's your favorite candy bar and why? Now, this shows how well I know you. I could guess yours.
Guess mine. Go ahead.
The Zagnut.
That's my favorite candy bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Best candy bar ever. I love coconut. I could eat coconut in just about anything. But the combination of the crunchy peanut butter and the toasted coconut, it's just a winner for me. I think it also is, I like it because it's hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find it, it's like finding lost treasure.
Right.
And just so good.
Yeah.
So
I join you in the love for coconut, and that's where we did some searching yesterday. Because Caleb said, well, the question is, he says, because he really loves peanut butter and chocolate, so is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups considered a candy bar? And AI says no. And apparently AI is the final say now. So AI said, no, not really a candy bar. So he's going to have to figure out what it is beyond that. But when I then said, well, then for me, and it might even still be, Mounds or Almond Joy. But I almost felt like I should apologize for that, because if you're around people who don't love coconut, they don't get it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think it's probably true for you, like with raisins, right? I mean, you don't get why I don't like raisins, and there is that piece as well.
What did raisins ever do to you?
Right, but I think coconut is one of those things that people are like, ugh, that, no thanks. And others are like, this is the most amazing thing in the world.
No, it is.
And
it is funny. I mean, yeah. Certain things. Coconuts, raisins, mushrooms. People have opinions.
Oh. Yep, for sure.
Okay. What's further degrading, though, is you're like, I not only would not eat raisins myself, I'm going to feed them to the birds.
Yeah. Birds love them.
I guess.
Birds love raisins.
I guess it would be more insulting if you said they're so bad I'm not even going to feed them to the birds.
That'd probably be worse. But, yeah, my birds love them outside.
Yeah, so. Well, that's good.
But it's an expensive treat to give birds.
It keeps them regular. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. The more serious side of things, our scripture today is John 17:22. We are working our way through all 129 devotions in your notes from the upper room. Devotions, you've got the book as well for chapters 13 through 17 of John. But John 17:22 says, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one.
All right. And I wrote, one of the definitions of glory in the dictionary is great beauty and splendor, which captures Jesus' heart in his high priestly prayer. Jesus said to the Father, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them. The Father glorified the Son, and the Son glorified the disciples, but not because they were praiseworthy. Rather, his glory, what I previously indicated Larry Crabb referred to as the relational glory of God, was given to us so that we would reflect the beauty and splendor of Christ-like love. Our ability to love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us shines a glorious light upon a watching world. Love and oneness, grounded in Jesus, reflect Trinitarian glory.
That whole idea of relational, I mean, when we talk about the glory of God, a lot of times it sort of goes over my head. But as soon as you say relational glory, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I think so often we take this idea of glory as the otherness of God. And I think there's an element of that. But I think we cannot exclude that relational piece that, we were made for relationship by relationship.
Right.
And,
yes.
So important.
Say that again. We were made for relationship by the one who ultimately is relationship.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to love, which is a deeply relational word.
Yeah.
And and so God is relational. We are relational. And we're made to reflect that.
I think we hit on kind of a core or a center of why we have always loved and appreciated. One of the many reasons we always loved and appreciated Larry, because he was passionate about that.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it really was the center of what he talked about.
All right, what's our closing prayer?
And I wrote, Jesus, when I think of the word glory, I'm comfortable with it being applied to you and even to your creation. But when I think that I, too, was created for glory, it makes me nervous for some reason. Help me to revel in the glory in loving others, knowing that it is a reflection of Trinitarian glory. Amen.
Jason, you were created for relational glory. Now go and be other-centered.
Likewise.
There we go. What a closing today here on WWIB. Danny Gokey, turning 45 today. He's going to be at One Fest. Today's number is $55 billion. That is the amount that Americans spend on their pets every year. It's a lot. Well, we didn't do it on Tuesday. We tried four times on Wednesday, and we were 0 for... Caleb, why don't we try it again here on Thursday?
Indeed. Tuesday trivia question was as follows. Annually, over 2,000 people are injured each year by this. Over 2,000, I guess saying annually and each year is kind of unnecessary.
We're getting the point
across. Anyway, over 2,000 people injured each year by what? And we've started stacking clues, Salvo.
We have. The first one came about 7:45 yesterday. We said it's unusual. It would be an unusual way to get hurt.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that this could hurt you, but apparently it happens. Also, we said, think in the house, and most houses would probably have one or more of these. It's pretty common. Mm-hmm. Not every house, but I'd say most would have one or more of these. We mentioned, actually, it was one of our advertisers would sell these in one of the commercial breaks that we played right before trivia. And then I think to add to it this morning, we had a young lady called in, I believe from Hawkins, and she said, could be flower pots, maybe a broken flower pot that you could get injured on. And we said, she is tracking in the right direction, certainly kind of sniffing around what this is.
If we're playing hot, what is it, warm or cold? She was pretty warm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, over 2,000 people injured each year by what? And we want to send you a free digital download of The Unbreakable Boy if you are finally the one to crack the code and solve this.
Yeah.
And we can send it to you wherever you might be in the WIB listening area, so don't be shy. 715-723-2555, 723-2555. Call now and let's get a winner on a Try It Again Thursday.
We've got a question in the morning that we want to deal with the rest of the time. What's your favorite candy bar and why? Which you can weigh in on different place, 396-1670. But 723-2555. We're kind of taking you by the hand and leading you.
We're really trying. And again, it'd be kind of unusual to be hurt by this. You wouldn't think that it would be dangerous, I guess. But also, again, think homes, think houses. Many would probably have one or more of these. And, one of our advertisers that we mentioned that's probably advertising more and more around this time of year would sell these. And also the young lady who said, flower pots or broken flower pots. It's like that is in the right direction. 715-723-2555.
When we say hurt, the reason we know is apparently more than 2,000 of these people a year go into the emergency room with having been injured by this, which I think would probably be a little embarrassing.
Yeah. It's like you got hurt how?
Say this is how I got my injury.
I just wonder sometimes if people in the ER are like, I'm going to laugh at you when I pull the curtain.
Yeah, it's going to be a story.
After caring for you, of course.
All right, folks, 723-2555. For a moment, stepping away from the candy question to finish off. We have unfinished business this morning.
Yeah. Tuesday trivia, it Wednesday now. Try it again Thursday. Let's see if someone can figure this out. 715-723-2555 for a free digital download of The Unbreakable Boy. What injures over 2,000 people each year? Are you just giving up and saying, even with all those clues, we still can't figure it out? And again, we've been saying very common for it to be in a home, house. You know what? House is actually part of the word.
Yep. Wow. Part there you go.
We're just laying this out here for you,
we want you to win. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Kathy from Kerryville.
Kathy from Kerryville. Love the alliteration. Kathy, what do you think? What injures over 2,000 people each year?
Houseplants.
That just seems crazy.
Yeah. How do you think you might get injured by a houseplant, Kathy?
Well, if they eat it or
okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, if you're hungry enough, right?
As Monk always famously said, it's a jungle out there. 2,000 plus people injured each year by houseplants?
Could that be it? Yes, you're the winner, Kathy.
You got it, Kathy. Well done. We're still kind of mystified on how this could happen, but apparently it happens to actually closer to 2,500 people each year are injured by houseplants. And just for figuring that out, Kathy, we're going to send you a free digital download of The Unbreakable Boy movie. How about that?
Wow, thank you.
You are so welcome. Hang on the line. We'll get an email from you and send that out to you.
All right.
Just be careful, folks. You never know what could fucking
it
hurt
is
you.
A jungle out there. All right. I'm going to withhold playing the Randy Newman song, which was the wonderful intro to that fine show. And we, again, a question of the morning. We'll tackle the rest of the morning between now and 9. What's your favorite candy bar and why? Kathy, what's yours?
Snickers.
Snickers. Oh, that's
solid
good
choice,
that's
Kathy.
That's a great choice. The Whip Wake Up Show, WWIB on a Thursday morning. Question of the morning is, what's your favorite candy bar and why?
We love hearing from you, 715-396-1670. You can text us, but we love hearing at your own voice. I think Paul just left us a voicemail about his favorite candy bar. And earlier, Julie had texted us, and she said that dark chocolate is where it really is at for her. Anything dark chocolate, but she said if that's not available, then Heath Bar is next in line because she loves the toffee inside.
Mm. Yeah, she joins my wife in being a dark chocolate fan for sure.
My wife as well.
Yeah. So 396-1670, and we're soliciting responses on Facebook as well.
Yeah, and most recent response on Facebook was Sue, and she said Three Musketeers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting because that's a first in some info that we've got here about how certain candy bars got their name. And that's what sparked this question, made us that's wonder, right, what's your favorite candy bar?
That's right. So we want to share some of that knowledge with you here on WWIB. And so, yeah, there you go. The first one was a reference to the Alexandre Dumas novel, Three Musketeers, because the candy was initially composed of separate milk, chocolate, and vanilla bars.
I don't know that it's accurate, but I think there's something on that makes me feel like Three Musketeers is a healthier candy bar because they always promote like 33% less fat or something. So I'm like, oh, it's healthy. It's not healthy. It's healthier. Big difference. Big difference.
Whatever they can sell you on, right?
How candy bars got their names. Good branding, good marketing there. Baby Ruth, not named in honor of the famous baseball player. The Baby Ruth was actually named after Ruth Cleveland, the daughter of American President Grover Cleveland.
There you go. How about Butterfinger, the result of a 1923 contest 102 years ago held by the Curtis Candy Company. The submission described himself as a klutz.
Is that naming a Butterfinger? I love Butterfinger. In fact, that may be my favorite. Huh. It's
really
tough to decide. But
I've never,
yeah,
you know, I've worked with you 6 years. I don't remember hearing that before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It may have been before we did the show together. I remember mentioning one time that how much I love Butterfingers. And Jim, you know who you are, Jim, worked, I believe, for Nestle and brought an entire, like, box of Butterfingers. And I was like, that is one of the nicest things anyone has ever done for me.
Yeah.
I did share them.
Fantastic. How about Heath? The timeline is disputed, but first sold by the brothers Bayard and Everett Heath, originally marketed as the Heath English Toffee Bar.
How did Hershey's get its name? Named after Milton Hershey and his Hershey Chocolate Company, which was originally known as the Lancaster Caramel Company.
And finally, Jolly Rancher. Not a candy bar, but it's on our list. Traces to the name of an ice cream store in Colorado, which was named with the intent of giving off a friendly Western aura.
The Jolly Rancher. All right.
So, there we go. Let's listen to Paul's answer as we exit here this morning. 715-396-1670. Oh, I'm going to have to stop Sammy, though, if I'm going to actually hear him, because that is just the way that things work around here. And so, without further ado, let's listen to our friend.
Yes, my favorite chocolate bar is the plain and simple, the Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bar, especially the king size. Maybe they could even make a queen size. Meaning, after my favorite team somewhat, the Minnesota Vikings Queens. Have a good day, Mark and Caleb, and God bless you.
Thank all right, not only a solid chocolate bar choice with the classic Hershey's, Paul, but even getting in a little rip on
on NFL draft day. Why not?
The well done, sir. Well
draft
done.
Draft is in Wisconsin today. Oh, that sounds good. A Hershey's bar.
So good. It's classic.
And maybe even occasionally put a little peanut butter on there. All right, talking candy this morning. What's your favorite candy bar and why? 715-396-1670.
Also, we've been delving into this list of where various candies, some candy bars, some not, but where they got their names, where it originated.
Yeah. So for starters, though, let's go back to one of the listeners here and check out his answer.
Hey, Mike from Barron. My favorite candy bar of all time is called Peanut Butter Frost. They don't make it anymore. I used to work for a candy wholesaler, and I sold it then. And when they were discontinuing it, I bought a case of it. And because it's super, super sweet. I'm a super sweet tooth, except I'm allergic to chocolate, and there's no chocolate in it. So So all you guys will have to Google it or whatever and look it up and see peanut butter frost. Yummy.
I just Googled it, and very colorful packaging with red, blue, and yellow, and it says peanut butter frost, peanut butter, caramel, crispies, and white frosting.
Huh.
I'd try that, sure.
Also, Bob on the listener line saying, normally Snickers would be his go-to, but he says, I have a new love for Butterfinger, especially now that it's made in ice cream from Quick Trip, and you can tell us about that
one. Well, yeah, I tried that when Quick Trip had their ice cream on sale the other day. And my kids loved that Butterfinger ice cream. And as I mentioned, Butterfinger, it's right up there near the top, if not at the top, in terms of my favorite candy bars. And yeah, the Butterfinger ice cream, top notch. Well done, KT.
And Bob follows up and says, cool, creamy, and so consumable. I presume he was talking about the ice cream there. All right. We're going to close it out with another listener comment shortly, but let's go back to some of this history. How about Junior Mints?
Yeah, so Junior Mints, how did they get their name? A pun on the name of the 1940s Broadway play, Junior Miss. I guess it was meant to imply that this was a good candy to eat during movies or shows, and that certainly worked.
It certainly has. It's continued on. Kit Kat's been mentioned this morning, although unconfirmed. The name is likely thought to refer to the Kit Kat Club, a popular 1920s jazz venue in the West End of London.
M&M's, originally a joint venture between businessman Forrest Mars and Bruce Murray, who was the son of the president of the Hershey's Company. And so they said Mars and Murray, M&M's.
Huh, there you go. Milk Duds refers to the large amount of milk in the recipe, the milk, and the dud to the fact that the company called them Milk Duds because their machine couldn't make them round.
That's funny. A couple more here, how candies got their name. And again, we're asking you, what's your favorite candy bar? Respond 715-396-1670, text or voicemails, even better. The Milky Way, which may be my wife's favorite candy bar, the Milky Way, Midnight, the dark chocolate, not named directly after our galaxy, but after malted milk, which was a popular drink when the candy was released in the early 1920s, the Milky Way.
And finally, Mr. Goodbar, named when Milton Hershey heard someone exclaim, Mr. Goodbar, and liked the sound of it.
You never know when someone's eavesdropping, it's going to name a candy after exclamation.
Let's go once more to the listener line.
Hi, this is Mike from La Crosse, and my favorite candy bar is Three Musketeers. I like the caramel and chocolate that's in it, and it's really good. All right, thanks.
You kind of sold me, Mike. Pretty good. Yeah, that sounds pretty tasty for sure.
This is Dale Mudgett from Rice Lake. Butterfinger, that wonderful peanut buttery taste with the layer of chocolate on top. Have a great day. Bye.
Good support for Butterfinger today.
Butterfinger is delicious. What's your favorite candy bar? 715-396-1670. That's our WIB listener line. Hopefully you have that saved in your phone. You can text us, or we love hearing it in your own voice in a voicemail, 715-396-1670. People weighing in on the question of the day on our social media as well. What's your favorite candy bar? And love hearing from you.
Yeah, so we've got other responses this morning, and that includes Nancy in La Crosse, who said Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, especially the caramel peanut butter cup.
And John also said Reese's. Now, again, is Reese's a candy bar? Not necessarily. It is delicious, and I would say the best option at the checkout counter absolutely is the Reese's. But John later says, okay, so if I can't pick a Reese's, if it's not a candy bar, though Reese's does make some candy bars, caveat, asterisk there. But he says Snickers. Yeah. Go with the Snickers.
Which is very good as well. And we're going to talk about both of those here in a moment. So backstory on some of these candies. Some we've mentioned, some we haven't. Like Payday, invented by the Hollywood Candy Company way back in 1932. And it was time to name the new bar. It happened to be Payday. So why not?
It's just some of these things that are so iconic. It's like, wow, what's this? It's kind of like, you know, asking an artist when they come in, how'd you get your band name?
Right.
It's like, well... It just happened to be Payday. Reese's, created by former Hershey's employee Harry Burnett, H.B. Reese, named after himself and modeled after the penny cups in the 1920s.
There you go. Almost 100 years ago, huh? Snickers, named in the 1930s after a favorite horse owned by the Mars family.
Again, when you look back at the Hershey family and the Mars family and things like that, there wasn't a ton of creativity in some of these names. It's like, name it after the horse.
Right.
Name it, but they make delicious candy. Sour Patch Kids, not a candy bar, but originally known as Mars Men in Canada, but marketed as Sour Patch Kids in the United States, following the Cabbage Patch Kids craze in the 1980s.
Yep. I remember that craze. Starburst, called Opal Fruit when it was first marketed in Britain in 1960, later renamed to Starburst in the U.S. for marketing purposes.
I feel like that was a good idea. Uh-huh. A couple more here, how certain candies got their names as we're asking you, what's your favorite candy bar? 715-396-1670. The Tootsie Roll, invented by not someone named Tootsie, Leo Hirschfield, whose five-year-old daughter had the nickname Tootsie, and that was the candy's namesake.
And finally, Twix, which has been mentioned this morning, probably a blending of Twin and Styx, short for Styx. They don't know for sure, but they're coming up with that one.
And even as we mentioned that, Cliff from Eau Claire, he says, yeah, so many great candy bars, tough to choose just one. He says Left Twix is really good, Kit Kat as well.
All right, so lots of great ones, and one of the commonalities is many of them have
chocolate, yummy chocolate. It's so this chocolate bar, I'll break it in two. We can share together chalk for me and you. Oh, it tastes so good, sweet like nothing else. Don't hold it too long, eat it before it melts. Chocolate, yummy.